So I will have a very general presentation about the state of the art in search and browsing. And I wanted to make several points during my presentation. The first point was that really the problem for use and reuse of 3D content was not really the production of content, but the issue about technologies for access. And after these 2 days, I'm not so convinced now that the problem are the technologies. I think that I see after 2 days of speaking is that we are really, really afraid of opening this Pandora box and seeing what is going to happen once we give access to all this stuff we have created or that people are creating anyway. So I would say I think one of the main things is sure there are still many problems in technology towards allowing people to search and browse 3D content, but I feel that there is other issues that are surrounding this, which is about how 3D content then is controlled, how is it used, what can people do with 3D content. And once we release this 3D content, it can be manipulated, it can be transformed, and we will very quickly lose control about what we very carefully created and documented with lots of metadata. So just making this point, in order to get the state of the art, I first tried to just brainstorm with some potential users. So I knew that we have discussed a lot about the Scholar and what they are interested in doing with the 3D models, but I also wanted to go beyond the Scholar and the researcher and think of other users, maybe not users which are working now, but will be working in the future, like children who are now in school and will grow up with 3D content as a very normal content type. So the first thing I was thinking is people in the museums, yeah? So the exhibition designer, the person who is in charge of designing an exhibition around a theme or around a place, has some ideas about what they want to include in the exhibition, might be looking for some additional data. They might want to 3D print some display cases or some transportation packaging. They want to really use the 3D content to facilitate just the process of designing this exhibition. The other person I thought he was a conservator. Again, he wants to understand the state of an artifact, whether this is in many pieces or in one piece. So wants to have quick access to a fragment and maybe to the other potential parts who will belong to this fragment, whether they are in the same museum or in different museums. Another person I was thinking about is the amateur archaeologist, or that person who maybe is out in the field, they're trying to do some metal detection, and then they find something and they want to just help them to classify what this is, what they have found. They might be they have access to the archaeology, so they might not have access in that particular time to the knowledge of the archaeology. So they want to be able to access a collection or some knowledge on what is similar to this object I have found here at this particular point in time. The other person, of course, is the visitor. So that tourist that comes into the museum and wants to learn more about the particular object. And I think this tourist, this person who is interested in history, will not only find her or him in the museum. We might find this person in the streets of a city, watching a movie, watching a TV program, reading a book. You know, just people that are interested in general in history. And they might have something that they want to query, whether this is a line of text in a book or an image in a TV program or a 3D model in a game, you know. There might be different entry points of what they want to learn. And of course, they are really also entertained to be just, they are interested in being entertained. So they are just doing this because they enjoy it. The other person I was also thinking is this artisan crafter. And I think once today we mentioned about 3D printing, but actually these fabrication technologies are starting to gain popularity. And I was thinking, you know, what the potential there is for 3D data, 3D shapes to be useful for finding inspiration of just helping to create new things, new art, new craft, whatever this is. Okay, so based on this, I was thinking of what are the requirements for searching and browsing. And I think the first thing that I had to make a distinction between the two terms, you know, what is searching and what is browsing. So the basic concept is that some users have a better idea of what they are looking for than others. Yeah, some of them have a very specific piece of information, whether others are just trying to see what is there in the database. So searching is the process of finding a piece of information which answers a specific question. So in here we pay attention to the question, what is the question of the user? And in this case, the requirements for technologies for searching are really to support alternative ways of defining a query. So the query can be a piece of text, but it can also be some visual element, as I said, like an image or a 3D model. For sure, you will require a technology to understand this query, regardless of what it, how it was defined, and then to retrieve some relevant information. Browsing, on the contrary, or just complementary to it, is that process of skimming or seeing what is available. And in this case, you really want to be able to organize the data according to different concepts. So for instance, you might want to organize the data according to a different period, or a place, or a particular style, or any other concept that the person might be interested to browse. So for instance, in the case of somebody like the crafter, they might just be interested in 3D models that represent a concept such as nature, because they are making a sculpture about nature. And then how do you organize the 3D models that are in the database to bring together all of them that represent the concept of nature, when if this has not been embedded into the object, it will be quite hard to find. Okay, so let's look at the state of the art of searching and browsing technologies for 3D content in a very quick way. So 3D, for sure, as we have seen, it started to be included in many repositories. So I can mention different kinds of projects, so iSearch, Aimshape, 3D Coform, Carare, 3D Icons, Ariadne. All of these projects and data services that are funded by governments, such as the European project or the Archaeological Data Service in the UK or Archigrid, all of these are starting to provide 3D content. But what we notice is that these systems, for sure, they work only with the very specific data sets which have been indexed, which have been organized to support specific searching and browsers from the tool. So I put here some examples of some of these systems. So we have this iSearch interface, where you can see that allows for different types of queries to be input. So you can do a sound or an image or a sketch or a 3D model of a place, and then it looks in the database. At the moment, I think they have two types of data sets, for furniture and another type. So you always end up retrieving furniture, whatever you search for. Then you have this Aimshape. Here you can organize, you can categorize your model by different kinds of descriptors. And they are usually associated to the 3D mesh. And you have this other kind of research that looks at a more intuitive way of defining what they are looking for. Again, the query here is a bit more creative. Somebody's sketching something that they want to retrieve. Then it goes and looks in the database, finds the best match for that query, and then allows the user to customize for 3D printing. Again, we see here this use of 3D printing as a drive for people to be interested in 3D content. And I do believe that heritage organizations have a lot to offer by giving this value added on the accurate model, on the model that has some metadata about the provenance or the history of this object. Okay, so these shape retrieval methods that are in the state of the art either work by being content-based or text-based. So just to explain a bit, the ones that are content-based methods, they relied on some sort of shape descriptor that encodes the features of interest for the user. So what is what they are interested in looking for? Now, automatically generating and matching the shape descriptors for a high-level concept is not a solved problem. It's complex. So doing things which are very low level, so I have put here in some sort of semantic abstraction, it's easier to do descriptors that really look at the triangular mesh and describe some simple concepts that to move up this semantic abstraction line. So when you start talking about things such as the topology or what the object represents or what is the meaning of this object or what concept somebody will associate to this particular object, it gets much harder to encode this information into a descriptor that can be compared between 3D shapes. So I have categorized this information by being perceptual so that we can see it quite easily here or measure it, being interpretative, which is more the metadata, so what is this object or what is the story that the object is saying, or reactive, which are more about what does a user looking at this object particularly think or feels about it. So this is more how people react to the object. This is really, really complex to encode into some sort of descriptor that will help to find all the content which is similar to this object. So there are some approaches in computer graphics to try to find similarities. So in this case, we look at approaches that use a combination between global and the local shape information. So we have this work from colleagues in the USA. So in these examples, they try to match together 3D objects that have stylistic similarities. Yeah. So in this case, they have arranged this all this furniture because they look in a global but also in a local manner similar to each other. Okay, for text-based methods, this is much easier and also more complex. But it's easier in the sense that to look for something, you just look in the metadata. So if you are looking for something which belongs to this particular period, you go into your CDOC CRM structure and look for that particular period of time, all the objects that have this metadata. Now, this is easy because you just require to have the semantic information, but it is complex because you require somebody to input all of this information. And we have discussed about what is the problem here with manually annotating or inputting a lot of metadata. So there, for sure, there is a scope for having more research on automatic enrichment, so make automatic this process of generated metadata. And then you go back to the issue that this still requires some content-based methods to find similarities between objects. So there are some relevant projects in cultural heritage, so the Precious, the Gravitate, the work of Livio De Luca. We have done some work as well on looking at ornamentation in architectural features to find stylistic similarities. So all of this effort is going towards finding more automatic ways to enrich semantically the 3D data to support the searching and browsing. So I think I have just made this list of future challenges. For sure, one of the main things that we need is an infrastructure that easily connects to 3D content and its metadata. Without being able to do this, we will end up with these silos of repositories or databases that create 3D content but cannot be bring together and make searching and querying much easier. The other thing that is also a challenge still is for sure the automatic semantic enrichment, but not at a low level, but at a higher level that you can create more intelligent queries about what object you are looking for or what objects is representing or what type of concepts might people associate with that particular object. Dealing with complex shapes, for sure, so it's easier to deal with a vase, but if you think of a scene that has many different kinds of subparts is more complex. And the last two is where I think less research has happened, which is about how do we create a user interface that allow a user to input a query and to visualize the results. And especially if there are many representations of the 3D objects, because the representations are at different times or because they have used different technologies for imaging. So more intelligent multimodal queries, I finish, yeah. And improve visualization and just interaction with the results. And that's it, I finish.